this is April 29th, evening, and we are going to probably finish up 1 John tonight. Probably. Then again, who knows? And we're going to pick it up here at verse 10. 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. And we have seen, without a shadow of a doubt, that this is not what Paul teaches. We have seen that you can't even spiritualize and tweak this stuff. Or like Peter said, the rest of the scriptures. But this verifies what John says in the book of John. And we also know that John wrote this thinking that the Lord was going to come back soon. And that they had to go through their, Jacob's trouble. They had to go through the fact that they did kill the Christ and all that stuff. So they had to go through that. And this is what their life was going to be like for a little while. And it was going to be a tough life, the tribulation. And he's telling these guys that they have to overcome the world by their walk, by their works. They have to love God, keep his commandments. And in Acts chapter 2, God's going to put his spirit upon all flesh. Everybody's going to have the opportunity to do the right thing. They're going to have the ability to do the right thing. But they're not all going to do so. But if they believe that Jesus is the Christ, then they will be born of God. And Jesus himself and the Spirit of God will help them walk the way they need to. And they get chastised. And all the stuff we hear about today is the way it's going to be to them. They will know who each other are because everybody, I mean, just imagine the struggle that they're going to go through. And everybody will know that they're a Christian. And that they are a child. They will be, since a Christian, will be born of God. And as it says at the end of the chapter here, we know that we are of God and the whole world lieth in wickedness, and they will hate these people. They will hate these people that are born of God. And they won't have anything to do with it. They won't hear anything. And these people can't buy, sell, or trade, whatever. And they'll love each other. They'll be there to provoke each other into good works. They'll be there to encourage each other. They'll be there to help each other. If there's a need, they'll be there for them. And they will know exactly who is the brethren. And we don't have that today. We just don't have that. And it's not just because we don't want to help somebody because we're so bothered by them, or they don't live close to us or whatever, or we don't have enough money to help them or encourage them. We don't know how to help them. It's when people that you try to help or whatever go right back to the same old junk. Well, Paul helps us take care of that, knowing that that stuff still isn't imputed. So you have to understand Paul a lot, and what the teachings are, and the dispensation of grace. And all things are lawful. We have to realize that, but not all things are expedient. Not all things do they edify properly? Not all things is because of the flesh. We realize that in each other, knowing, of course, that Paul didn't make it either. But Paul had God's grace. And I know everybody's had God's grace, but not in the manner that we have during the Gentile age here as such. The church age, as they like to call it. But we get into 1 John, Peter, Hebrews and James and 2 Peter and Jude and that kind of stuff. It's just all about works. They have to have their faith. We know that. But it's their faith they have to have. During our time, like my time right now, I struggle with my faith over these things because what's going on in life. But we know that his faith is what's keeping me in his gathering as such. And these people lose their faith, they lose the kabang. And so let's just finish this thing up, because the end of this chapter kind of wraps it all up again. And it just reminds us that it's going to be just a really hard time for these people. We're going to have a hard time. Paul says we're going to be persecuted. We're going to suffer reproach because we follow and believe and love the living God. Well, the living God during the tribulation, he's still living, but he's done with his goodness. He's back to the judgment stuff again. The goodness of God leadeth people to repentance today. But see, people don't want to hear about the goodness of God anymore. So Romans chapter 11, verse 22, when God says, you know what? I'm done. Boom, rapture, because he has to take the few people that will be left, he has to take them out of here in order for the doctrine to change. He can't just burn the people that have been trusting him and then all of a sudden, hey, welcome to the tribulation. And now you're part of the church that has to stay here for a while. God doesn't do that. And So anyway, he cuts them off. It says right there, he cuts them off. You know, he's just, they're done. So here we are. 1 John chapter 5, the last couple of verses here. Go to verse 10 here. No, let's just kind of do 10 just for a second. Well, we are at 10. Okay, he that believeth on the Son of God. Okay, no, that's what they're talking about. When he says believeth on the Son of God, that means that they believe that he is the Christ. That's what they mean by believing on the Son of God. And it says, hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him, meaning God, a liar. Because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. So if the record that God gave of his Son, they don't believe it, they're calling God a liar. So let's go back to the first part, because here's what people are today. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. In other words, to themselves, they know they're a Christian. Well, see, we don't. We have people today that believe they're a Christian because they believe the Spirit of God has told them they are. And then you ask them, well, you know, that's good. I mean, but how did that come about? Well, I asked Jesus into my heart. Oh, I was born again. Oh, well, I try to keep his commandments. Oh, well, I was baptized. Oh, well, I've had communion. Oh, you know, all that stuff. And so because of that, they believe that they have the witness of God. Well, the witness, we went through the witnesses this morning, the witness of God in the tribulation, the witness of God in the Gospels. We have the witness of God. It's through the risen Savior, through Paul, through the King James Bible. Anything else is a false witness. But you can't convince that to people because their pastors preach this stuff. Well, you out there, only you know if you're a Christian. No, my Bible will tell me if I'm a Christian and rightly divided. When I first got into this stuff, I realized I might have always had another Jesus. They had different Bibles. I've been taught different things. And I thought that Jesus was going to chastise me. He never did. I thought Jesus was going to bless me with fantastic jobs and because I do good, and we teach that to our kids. And when something goes wrong, God will chastise you. So when they're doing something wrong and God doesn't chastise them, and then something does go wrong in their life and God's not there to prevent it or fix it, then they think there's no such thing as God. They were presented a false witness. I taught my kids a false witness. And pastors are teaching their people a false witness. And they all think that they've got the truth because they have the witness in themselves. They know. No, that Bible, King James, rightly divided, will tell you if you've got God or not. Do you have the living God or do you follow an unknown God? Does he know you? Kind of a thing. So, you know, that's a dangerous verse. That's a very dangerous verse that thing is preached today. Hath the witness in himself. Now, let me see if I can find it here. If I got my old notes here. Hang on. I'm just kind of... Here we go. Witness here. Witness, witness, witness here. Now, if I can find this. A certain verse here. Paul says in Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Okay, so see there, Paul says the same thing. Yes, because during that time, God did go to these people. He went to these people through Paul. So these people would hear. You know, the Spirit would bear witness with their spirit, their person's spirit. And through Paul's teachings and preachings, they would find out that they are children of God. Okay, so what do we find out today? We find out the same thing from Paul. We find out the same thing from a rightly divided King James Bible. So yes, the Spirit does tell our spirit. The Spirit does within ourselves. We know this, but we know this based on scriptures, not on a feeling. And so we've got people going by feelings. We've got people going by what mom says to them, but they were brought up in a Christian family. That doesn't make them a believer or something. They can believe it because they were taught this, but they haven't put their faith and trust in it. They just believe it. But that doesn't, you know. My brother taught, when he had his first child, he taught his son that the cat was a dog and a dog was a cat and a horse was a cow and a cow was a horse. And so for years, Jeff thought that's just but the way it was. He believed that. Well, he found out he was wrong later. That's kind of cruel to do to your kids, but that's my brother's. So anyway, we can't put this verse on us so we have the witness in ourselves just based on ourselves. We have people all over the country that think they're Christians because they just know in their heart that they are. Well, I'm going to stand on the scriptures. I don't want another Jesus. I don't want to be deceived by those that are deceived and deceiving. Okay, so verse 11. Oh no, verse 10 hath made him a liar because he believeth not the record that God gave of his son. They don't believe that record. Okay, now here we go. Here's what you do when you're reading your scriptures and you want to do a personal Bible study. Wait a minute, the word record. So what you do is you get out your computer concordance, you know, which just makes it quick, type in the word record. And divide all the scriptures that come out, put a line between, you know, Acts 8 and 9. Anything above that is Gospels, anything below that is Paul. Then you go down to where Hebrews kicks in. If there's any words in Hebrews or James, whatever, draw the line there, and you'll see the three different divisions. You've got the Gospels, you've got the Hebrews to Jude, and then you've got Paul's in the middle. And you'll see the difference, in, for example, in the word record. Okay, for example, here's what Paul says about a record. Now, John is saying, the record is this. Verse 11, and this is the record. Okay, what's the record? That these guys aren't believing. Well, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that not the Son hath not the Son of God hath not life. Okay, now how do they have the Son of God? By believing that he was the Christ. How do we have the Son of God? By faith and trust in that Son of God. Okay, here's what Paul says about the word record, for example. Total bunny trail here. He says in Acts 20, wherefore I take you to record this day. So Paul's got a record. You know, what's your record? Paul's got a record that says, I am pure from the blood of all men. So he goes to his judgment seat, and his record says, well, he's told everybody. What do you mean he's told everybody? I wonder if Paul even realized that his words are going to be recorded, are going to be written down for the next 100, 200, 500,000 years, you know, kind of, not 200,000, but 1,000 to 2,000 years, that all people are going to hear the truth because of Paul. And his record says that he's pure from all the blood of men, that he's talking about the Jews. I bear them record. This is, put this on your record, you guys, but you have the zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. That's on your record, kind of a thing. So what you do is you go down and you see some pretty interesting verses here about record. Kind of takes you off the trail a little bit, but it's a good study. He says in Galatians 4, where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Now that's a giver. That's quite a giver. So their record is the fact that they're a giver. Philippians chapter 1, Paul says, for God is my record, how greatly I long after you. Long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. On Paul's record, it was that's how much he cares for his people. And then we see in Colossians 4, talking about Epaphras and some of Paul's fellow workers, he says, for I bear him record, that he hath a great zeal for you. So we all have some kind of a record, you know. Paul's got a record. We've got a record. What is your record? Bunny trails. That's how you do the bunny trail stuff. That's how you get into something that's probably more fun than the main sermon. Let's go back to 1 John. The record he's talking about there is where it says, God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Again, you've got to know how do they have the Son of God during the tribulation, because it's different than the way we have him today. Okay, look at verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Well, that's a neat verse, really. Let's read again slowly. These things have I written unto you. See, John says that. I think it's John chapter 20. Let's see, John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verse 31. Yeah, these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Okay, so they're believing that he is the Christ. So they're putting their faith on his name because they believe his name is of the Son of God. The Son of God. Jesus is the Christ. So that's what that means when they say believe it on his name. That's why I don't understand why anybody else would name their son Jesus. Spanish guys do it a lot. Jesus or whatever, you know. Why would you ever name a kid Jesus? This is a very special name. But anyway. So, believing on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Okay, do you know you have eternal life? That's the question I always ask people. People always say, I remember saying, well, I don't know that. I'm hoping I do. You know, blah, 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 blah. Well, how do they know what's written that way? So can we use this verse today? Well, what you do is you stop and you take a side bunny trail and you type in the word know and you see what Paul says, what we should know. And you do a study and you realize these are the things Paul wants you to know, and Paul assumes that you know. Of course, know ye not that such and such. There's a whole string of things Paul would have us to know. You get into the assurance aspect, you get into the confidence, and then you find out that, yeah, you could know you have eternal life. But if you use this verse, you're using it out of context from the tribulation. Because are you believing just the fact that he was the Son of God? Well, that doesn't give you assurance of eternal life at all. But in its context, during the tribulation, it says, listen, people, I've written this stuff to you, you people that believe on the name of the Son of God, so that you can know that you have eternal life, and you can even believe that you on the name of the Son of God. I mean, that's possible. How do you know that? Because I've written this to you, that this is how you believe on the name of the Son of God, you have eternal life, and you can know it. But the rest of the verses from John say, well, in order to believe on the name of the Son of God, that means you are believing that he is the Son of God. You believe that his name is the name of the Christ. There's no faith and trust there. It's just they're believing that. Make sense? We have to be able to see the difference. Now, let's go back to verse 11 and 12. I missed two things here, sorry. And this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life, okay? Another bunny trail for you. Look up the phrase, given to us. You know, what does Paul say that we've been given? Well, okay. We find out that there's only three verses. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. And then you read in Romans chapter 12, 6, 7, and 8, the things that are given to different ones of us. As we would say, the gifts. They are not the gifts that are given in Corinthians regarding before, the gift of speaking in tongues, the gift of interpretation, the gift of discernment. That's our Bible today. But he does give us gifts. That's from Romans 12. In 2 Corinthians 5, we're given the ministry of, he says here, all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and given to us the ministry of reconciliation. It's a gift. He's given to us this ministry of reconciliation. That's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to reconcile people back to God. He says in 1 Corinthians 2, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Okay, how do you know these things? Rightly divided through Paul. And what they're talking about here, all they talk about here is these guys are given eternal life. Just given to them, free gift. Not like it is for us. These guys have to keep the commandments, follow Jesus and walk the way he walks and confess their sins and da-da-da. If you do that, he'll give you eternal life. Okay. And if you read verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You'll know the difference. Well, you won't. They will know the difference in the tribulation. We don't know that. As far as we're concerned, Paul's biggest fear is we have people that have another Jesus. They may think they've got them and be assured of it, but we can tell by the scriptures that, hey, if you're basing your salvation on your Lutheran baptism, I can assure you, you're not saved. You're not, you don't have eternal life like that. Everybody has eternal life. The question is, are you going to be in the lake of fire, or are you going to be with God? Okay, anyway, just rambling here. Here's another one. We go to verse 14. See, if this is all true, you know, they got the Son of God because they believe in the name of the Son of God, da-da-da-da, and they got the right witness and blah, 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 blah. They've overcome the world, so they're keeping the commandments and da, 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 da. Then according to verse 14, they should have confidence in what? In the fact that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Colon, and if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. What does that mean? That means that he will tell you what's the right thing to ask. We know that we have the petitions that we desired of. We want him to tell us what we should be asking him for. And that's why these pastors say, well, you know, you didn't get what you wanted because you didn't ask according to his will. You didn't get what you wanted because you're not keeping the commandments good enough. You didn't get what you wanted because you didn't ask with enough faith. I mean, there's all the guilt things they put on you. That's not confidence. So, I wonder what Paul says about confidence. There's another funny trail for you. Pick a word that kind of rings a bell, you know. Well, what you find out when you bunny trail off with the word confidence with Paul, there's only one verse that talks about us having confidence, and it's where he says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Not by our faith, not by our walk, not by us keeping the commandments, but because of his faith. Our confidence today is built on his faith, Ephesians 3:12. Their confidence in the tribulation will be in the fact that they are keeping his commandments. They will know that they are fighting. They will know they haven't taken the mark. They will know they can't buy, sell, or trade. They will know they need help from the brethren. And when they're in a situation like that, they can ask. And they will know what God wants them to ask because they'll be that close to him and he'll tell them the things they need. Do they need food? No, they're doing fine. That's the struggle we're going to have, kind of a thing. All the other verses Paul talks about in confidence is the fact that he has confidence in us. There's three verses that talk about Paul's confidence, that he has the confidence. He says, you're preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence. So what he was doing, he had confidence in it. And in this confidence, I was minded to come unto you. See, Paul was confident what he was doing, God wanted him to do. But other than that, Paul says, having confidence in you all. I have confidence in you in all things. Great confidence which I have in you. I have confidence in you through the Lord. But we have no confidence in the flesh. And he says, but if I have to have confidence in the flesh, let me tell you about myself. Kind of a thing, you know. He has confidence in the Lord will touch us. The Lord will work in our lives. God, Paul knows that. And Paul says, having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt do more than I say. So Paul even has confidence that we will do more than what Paul tells us. That's his confidence. But see, that's not what we're talking about here in 1 John. These guys have confidence because they're keeping, I'll say it again, they're keeping his commandments, they believe that he's the Son of God, and they're walking as clean as they walk, and they're confessing their sins, just all what 1 John is about, and they know that God is telling them what to say. We don't even know what to say when we ask. Am I correct? So how does God handle that? Well, we go to Romans. We go to Romans 10. Where's the Romans? Let me find out. I think it's not Romans 10. It's Romans 8. Actually, let's go to Romans 8. There we go. Do we even know what to ask? We don't even know what to ask. Romans 8:29. And we know that, let's see here. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. By the way, Pentecostals. And, you know, on it goes. We don't even know what to ask for. And there is, see if I wrote down the verse here. I don't think I did. Oh, come on, I must have. Yeah, I would be surprised if I didn't, you know. I'm going to find it anyway here. I'm going to dig it up and find it here. Hang on a minute here, folks. There's a powerful verse that I personally need to remember right now. Oh, gosh, it's going to take forever. I'll find it really quick here. X. Won't take long here. Pause. Oh, I can't even find it. Well, that's terrible. I wrote it down here. Ephesians 3:20. Look at Ephesians 3:20. There it is right in front of my face. Ephesians 3:20. Here's a fantastic verse that I keep telling myself every day a thousand million times with this situation that I'm finding myself in. I've been in it a number of times. This is nothing new, but I wasn't this old then. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. That's God. That's his power. The power of the Spirit of God, the power of his words, the whole thing here. So there's a difference in asking. We don't know what to ask for. In fact, God will do, God is capable of doing exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask. Knowing my past, God has proven that over and over and over in my life, how he has done abundantly above what even I ask. And now I'm asking again, and I'm kind of begging, asking, and I know that the Spirit of God, I know God knew this was all going to go on. He knows all this was going to go on in your life. He knows what's going to happen to you tomorrow and the things. You know, Peter could go to work tomorrow and the store burned down. I mean, who knows what's going to happen? Well, God knows. But he can, it says, able to do it exceedingly abundantly above. Now, is that physical blessings? I have to say that it must be. So, that'd be a sermon thought on itself, but that's a powerful verse, Ephesians 3:20. He's able to do it. Doesn't mean he's going to, but he's able to do abundantly above all that we ask. And these guys have to be confident they're asking based on their walk. Our confidence in asking is the fact that it's his faith that's there for us. And if he wants me to fall off the earth here and he wants me to be done, I tried my bit. I tried to have a church. I tried to start a church. I tried to keep a church. I tried to teach in schools, blah, 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 blah. I've messed it up. Is he going to just let me die? Well, look at a lot of people's lives. Why wasn't Christ there? Well, maybe he was. Maybe this is what's going on. I mean, you know, your mind wanders with this stuff, goes on and on. But anyway, getting back to the subject here, we're looking at 1 John. Okay, and when he says in verse 15, and we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. Now, I'm just thinking, go to Matthew 7, and here's what these people are going to find out. Matthew, I think it's Matthew chapter 7. So Gospels. This is why we can't put the Gospels on us. Matthew 7, I think it's 23, 24, and 25. 21, there it is. A long time since I said anything about this verse. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Oh. So during the Gospel times and during the tribulation times, there's going to be people that are saying, oh, I'm a believer. You know, I know God. They're going to play the game. But he that doeth the will of my Father, are they doing the will of God? What's the will of God during the tribulation? Keep his commandments. We've been over that. He says in 22, many will say to me in that day, judgment day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Yeah. And in thy name have cast out devils? Oh, yeah. In thy name done many wonderful works? Oh, yeah. I mean, you know. And then I'm professing to them, I never knew you. You might have known me, but I sure never knew you. They didn't believe that Jesus Christ was the Christ. They didn't believe that he was the Son of God, but they played religion. Do we have to worry about that? We get up to him and he's going to say, I didn't know you. No, because based on Paul, it's because of our faith and his faith that he knows us. Not according to us keeping his commandments. Okay. How are we doing? Can we finish this thing up? Yeah, we can. There we go. He says in 16, if any man see, now here we go. Now remember the time, remember the context, remember what they're going to be seeing about the brothers. They're going to be seeing the brothers trying to do the right thing. And it's going to, they're going to know exactly who's trying to be a true brother. And if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. Well, so there's something they could do during the tribulation that could get them killed. There's a sin unto death. Well, James 1:12 talks about the crown of life. Let's look at it and see. That crown is not written to us. We don't have that crown available to us. Because the crown is the fact that they're going to get life. James 1:12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So if they don't, they have a sin that they could die from. Now, what I believe it to be would be the taking the mark. Because once they take the mark in Hebrews chapter 6, they're done. And he could kill them for it. Well, the people are going to kill them, but that's not because they're sinning a sin unto death. They're trying to do the right thing, and the people will kill them and will behead them. In Revelation, it talks about that. But if they take, there is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. So there are things that they will be doing during the tribulation that won't kill them, but they better confess it. But there is apparently a sin that could kill them. Wouldn't have to worry about that. I would have been dead a long time ago. Everybody in the church house says, amen, amen, amen. Verse 18, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Well, if they're born of God, they don't dare. And if they do, they better confess it. He is faithful and just to forgive them of their sins. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. See, keepeth himself. And that wicked one toucheth him not. Well, who's that? Who's the one begotten of God? Well, Christ is the one begotten of God. And the wicked one, have to be the devil, toucheth him not. So he's, you know, he's clear from that aspect of it. But if you're born of God, you don't sin. And that's over and over, 1 John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 4, 1 John chapter 5. Here's the big verse. And I think we understand this verse more than we have in the past. And we know that we are of God. How are they going to know that? Because they're going to know that they're not doing what the world does out there. They can't. Peter says they have to escape the pollutions of the world. They won't be able to work where we're working. Because they'll be part of the pollution. So, if you want a job, you're going to have to take the mark. You're going to have to do it all through that computer deal, the chip or whatever. Or you're not going to be able to eat. You want to work at such and such, you're going to have to take that mark and you're going to have to teach what they want you to teach. Getting close. But they will know that they're of God. And they will know that the whole world lieth in wickedness. Put that on somebody today and you got yourself an arrogant Christian. Well, I know that I am of God. And everybody out there is wicked. No, everybody out there is not wicked. Everybody out there is, a lot of people are deceived and they're nice people. But they're deceived. The whole world lieth in wickedness. Well, sure, he's a god of this world, no doubt. But there's still a lot of right things going on. Not as many as used to be, you know. But so how do we know that we are of God? Because of our walk. Listen, I will honestly, I can safely say this. We know that we are of God, and it isn't because of our struggles as a Christian. I know too many people that have given up on the modesty thing, given up on the loud thing, given up on being a man of God, given up on being the woman of God, given up on so many things. So does that mean you're not of God anymore? I know why these pastors preach what they preach, because they've been taught wrong. They've been taught in such a manner that it built a church. So now these guys put the pressure on. It's no different than the Catholics that say, listen, if you don't pay for your sins, penance, you're gonna, you know, I'll pray for you, but you got to pay me for it. So they built these fabulous, monstrous cathedrals. We got the same thing going on today. Baptist churches or King James, or guys are just as guilty. You know, the guilt trip they put on the Christians, you better pay off, you better come to church, you better have a church big enough for everybody to come to. They are doing the same thing, building their little Baptistic cathedrals with the same guilt and pressure that the priests have done for all those years. We know we are of God because of Paul as our witness. The Spirit of God is our witness. King James Bible rightly divided. That's how we know. And that's how we know how the world lieth in wickedness. And how do we know that somebody's saved or not? If we want to stand strong and just look at what Paul says about your salvation, the gospel of your salvation being a King James Bible, we're just kind of afraid to say it, but it looks to me like we can tell that somebody, but Paul does say, listen, it's not for you to know whether somebody's going to be in heaven or not when they die kind of thing. It's not your problem. You just live your life to please God. And it's an amazing thing, is it not, that when you try to dress modestly, when you try not to be so loud, when the man tries to be the man of the house and all this kind of stuff, the heat you get from those that say they're Christians. The world could care less. You want to believe that? Hey, go ahead and believe that. We won't discriminate based on religion, age. Yeah, you liar, you just don't dare talk about it because I could sue you. But really, they don't care. You want to be a Muslim? Look at what they're arguing about in the politics. Now the big issue is the fact that Romney is a Mormon. Well, what's Obama? He's a Muslim. Oh, what's the difference? There hasn't been a Bible-believing Christian in the House who knows when. I mean, true, Carter wasn't, Bush wasn't. All these guys say they're Christians. You know, Romney says he's a Christian. It's baloney. I'll get into that thing. Oh, are you of God or not? Based on a King James rightly divided Bible, you can sit there and say, well, I know that. And reasonable service is to turn this body into a living sacrifice and just start telling it no. And we are not very good at that. And did I lose my job? And am I not going to get a job or whatever the situation is based on my walk? I don't believe so. I don't believe that's the issue. Anyway, I sort of quit talking about that junk. You don't want to hear about it. Verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding. Well, okay, stop. Look up the word understanding with Paul. The riches of understanding, you know. Where do we get our understanding from? From a King James Bible rightly divided. That we may know him that is true, and that we are in him that is true. Well, you know, that's a good verse. Sure, God has given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God, eternal life. That's fine. It makes sense. It fits. But the question is, knowing that the Son of God has come, knowing that he is the Son of God, is that how you get that understanding? We know better than that. We've got a Bible. We know that in Amos it says during their time, they're not going to have the Word of God being preached. Hearing the Word of God is going to be in a famine. So they've got the Spirit of God upon them, and they'll know. But they're going to believe it? That's up to them. And how do we? Well, look at today. This couple that called me and just begged me to come out, we'll support you. And, you know, I've tried it, and not that I'm the big church starter, but we tried to start a church based on Paul. The Baptist guy destroyed us before we even got on the streets. And we tried to put Paul into a church already existing. Well, that went over like a hairdryer with no power. That didn't work. It just made people mad. Accusations and rumors started flying because they want to make sure that you're wrong just like they are. Oh, it's forever. Romans 11:22. They don't want to hear about the goodness of God, because that's what brings God. They don't want to be brought to repentance. They don't want to change their lives. They don't want to change their clothes. They don't want to be the man. They don't want their husband to be the man. I'll pray that you become the man, but I don't want you to really answer my prayer, you know. And then he ends this whole thing with one final proof. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. That is works. Keep yourselves from idols. Now, just for the fun, just for the record, we should probably remember, I said it enough times, we go to 1 Thessalonians, I thought of that right away, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9, these guys that followed Paul's teachings, verse 9, for they themselves show of us of what manner of entering in we, that's Paul and Timothy and all these guys, head unto you, and how ye turn to God from idols, to serve the living and true God. Well, we did that because of the goodness of God. These guys are going to have to keep themselves from idols, but that's their walk, and if they don't, they're up a creek without a paddle, and there's a hole in the boat, and they will drown. Anyway, I could just ram on with more verses. You've heard the verses I use all the time. You know, the love of money is the root of all evil, and because of that, you err from the faith. We all know that money is our God. We have a God, and we have the God. But we all know how bad we want money. We're done here, so if you want to take off, I was just thinking the other day, you know, when you come out here to the prairie, in the old prairie homesteading days, these guys didn't have to have electricity. They didn't have to have air conditioning. They didn't have to have heat like we have. They didn't have to have these monstrous houses with carpeting and paint. They didn't have to have all the stuff we have to have. And all that stuff and energy has cost us money to where we have come to where we have to have so much money to survive. It's become our God. Because everybody has to have this money, they go to places they have to work, and the men, we have to. The women go to work, and they really shouldn't. I mean, they do. There's situations where they've had to. The sin of this world has caused this stuff to happen. But really, in order to be out there, you err from the faith. You've had to wear what to make you wear. Look at what the clerks have to wear in the stores today. And there's got to come a time that the ladies draw, listen, sir, I'm not wearing that. And you have to, then you can legitimately sue them, because that's against your religion. But who's making those kind of arguments? Nobody is. Look at what would go on in a family if a guy put, you know, disaster. Look what goes on in the workplace. If you say, oh, I'm not going to make this. I'm not going to sell this at the 7-Eleven where I work. You're done. So this need for money that we have today causes us to err from the faith. I mean, is that my situation here? Is that what happened? I thought that was pretty balanced with what I was doing to the kids. So I don't think that's the issue. So we're living in a rough time. We'll just, I guess I'll know in the next month. And so what can happen to you? How many people out there that are listening to this? I know John Dagan, know that you lost your job for a long time. Money is the love of money, I tell you. And it causes sorrows in our lives, it says there in Timothy. No, we better be glad we're not in the tribulation, because we'd all be not doing too hot. But sure glad all things are lawful, but we're just going to have a big fire at the judgment seat of Christ. That's what we're going to have. But until then, we do what we do. Anyway, I better stop. I'm just rambling my talks here. We'd be having a cup of coffee. I hate coffee. You'd be having a coffee. Chocolate brownies and a hamburger or something. We'd be talking. It'd be kind of fun.